some of Edwin Astley's insufferably catchy backing music there for the series The Champions, which of course connects in all sorts of ways with a fantastic animal sanctuary extraordinaire and indeed an amazingly wonderful actress who's quite a regular on our wonderful Drive Time shows here. Indeed, we received a message from one of our colleagues at Lincoln to suggest that in fact she was at Westminster yesterday doing all manner of marvellous things and being there. Of course, we're talking about the legendary individual that is Alexandra Bastido. Are you there, Alexandra?
I am there, yes, absolutely.
Fantastic stuff. So let's go back to the first question. Say Debbie Wilson, who's one of our colleagues on the journalism courses here at the University of Lincoln, the home of Siren 107.3 FM, I think connected with you in Westminster last night.
That's correct, she did.
Excellent. So did it all go well, and are we making progress with these kind of things? Because it was a crucial event that you were obviously present at.
Oh, I'm so passionate about it. You know, the thing about running an animal sanctuary, the ABC Animal Sanctuary, is that you get to know animals personally. And to imagine a battery farm for thousands of cows that never see a blade of grass, and that they showed also footage of them, you know, having trouble walking, having mastitis. I mean, their lot is bad enough that they have their calves taken away to, you know, to make the milk yield what it is, but to actually incarcerate them as well, so they have no life whatsoever. I am getting passionate, but I just feel that we use animals for our food, and fine, but we must make sure, therefore, that they have as good a life as they possibly can. You know, we are their custodians, and we owe that to them.
Yeah. I mean, this is something we agree totally on. It's one of the key reasons we're delighted that you can join us on the show, because, I mean, this event was hosted by the WSPA against, obviously, this mega dairy that we were talking about. From any sort of scenario, this whole notion of actually producing a mega dairy where people are actually putting it into place just seems crazy. I mean, Wendy, your thoughts? I mean, obviously, a keen horse rider, a publicist and so on. I mean, your thoughts on this?
Yes, I have a very, very healthy regard for any animal, whatever, and I love eating meat. I'm very fortunate. I live out in the countryside of Lincolnshire. I live on a farm where they rear Lincoln Red and Belgian Blue cattle.
They're reared in a way which is at least humane.
Yes, it is a natural way. Personally, I have to reserve judgment on this one. I mean, we're having to think a long way ahead here. And I mean, I know that the population in this world is going to increase so dramatically. And somehow we have got to feed everybody.
I can
actually foresee a time when we won't actually have any farm animals, because the argument will be that the crops that we grow to feed them are areas that could be used to grow crops to feed human beings. Who knows what's going to happen in the future? It's a huge, huge story. And I don't think for us, we just can't get our heads around it completely.
What about putting all the other farmers out of business, though, by importing a huge place like that? Farmers who actually do treat their animals properly and who have a regard for them. And there were several at Westminster last night. I mean, that surely is, just as important. As I say, we've just got rid of the sow stalls. We're working on getting rid of the battery hens. So to now do this is such a step backwards.
Yes, I mean, I would agree with you there, Alexandra. I mean, there is farmers losing their jobs in exactly the same way that should you go shopping in one of the supermarkets, there are a number of automatic tills now that people can go through. And if you start using those, you're putting somebody out of a job. It's exactly the same thing, in much the same way as I mentioned just now. Earlier on in the programme, about how tractors actually made all the heavy horses redundant on the farms.
Yes, that is true. Yeah. I mean, the other thing, too, is getting into another area which some people might not approve of, but there's two doctors that I've been to, both proper doctors, and there's, you know, a lot of people actually allergic to cow's milk. So, I mean, should we be drinking as much as that? I mean, one said the 65% of his patients were allergic to cow's milk, and the other said 85%. So, I mean, that's another thing. I mean, would people have the problems if they knew that they were, a lot of them were actually allergic to cow's milk?
It does make you wonder why so many people are allergic to cow's milk when years ago you never even heard about it.
Maybe, just maybe, it's because the ways in which some of the cows are actually reared and dealt with, perhaps the milk that they're producing does contain various
antibiotics.
Exactly, that connect within that whole thing.
Like that.
Precisely, precisely. Yes. It's a long story. Let's bring in some of the next generation, Alexandra, if that's okay, because we have Zach Eggemeyer, who's based in Montana and has been duly visiting the Alexandra Bastide com website. Zach, your thoughts on this area?
First off, let me commend you on what you're doing. I think that it's very good, and I think that it's important that as we face the obvious increase in population, which we are right now, it's important to keep our humanity as we do that. And hats off to you for what you're doing. I think it's great.
Is that something which in Montana you would actually regard as these quaint English souls and their quaint English ways? Or is there something where that kind of concern actually is present in the States as well?
No, not at all. It's very present. Not necessarily in Montana. We don't have the big, the big stockyards and the mega dairies. But a little south in Colorado, you have Greeley, Colorado, which is, the largest stockyard in the country producing for, obviously, the big cheeseburger joints.
Exactly.
And it's appalling the way that the animals are raised and treated there. And, you just, you don't want to eat any beef because of that.
I mean, there used to be a line which suggested that the easiest way to make somebody into a vegetarian was take them to a slaughterhouse. But I think actually these days you just need to visit one.
Wish they would go to one, because I have. I mean, that's another of my bete noires, is that in the old days they used to have mobile abattoirs that used to go from farm to farm and kill the animals very quietly, just take them behind a rock or something. The others couldn't see it, and that was the end of them. And now, again, they are transported on these lorries, often miles and miles. And as I say, I have actually visited one, and it's horrific. So, I mean, it is enough to turn you off meat eating if you go to one.
Natalie, your views on this whole field. You think, what the hey? I don't care as long as I can actually get the food source. What are your thoughts?
Oh, no, I think it's terrible. I've seen in the newspapers, I've seen pictures of, big chicken houses. They can't move, and I think it's awful. I mean, I wish I didn't want to eat meat, really. I do. I like my chicken and I like sort of stuff like that, but just the way that some of them are treated, you don't want to go to any places like all the big burger joints and places like that, because it's just horrific.
I think it's very much a case of maybe using the notion of ethically sourced. I mean, one of the folk that we've been actively supporting over the years, in fact, he's just come back successfully from Pakistan, where he's been working over there helping families who do use their farm animals for all the reasons we've actually talked about. And obviously, with the floods, they've had all sorts of challenges there. Stuart Easby. From that perspective, I think you call it absolutely right, Alexandra. There's this notion of actually being stewards of the planet and acknowledging that actually how we treat other life forms is really crucial to our own health and well-being as well.
Well, I wouldn't want to shake the hands of anybody. I've never wanted to shake the hands of Bernard Matthews with his turkey farms, and I wouldn't want to shake the hands of anybody, because I don't believe they can be nice people. I think if you actually, people who care about animals are, I can't actually, because we have a lot of volunteers here who help us with the animals, and they are universally nice and kind people. And there's something about people that like animals. As I said, I can't believe the people who are in this for commerce, mega commerce, without considering the animals at all, can really be nice at all, quite honestly.
I think it's an interesting line that you actually raised there, and obviously we have to take a certain neutrality on that basis, but it's astounding. We talked in the recent months, Alexandra, about the fantastic work that you're actually doing. Do you sometimes feel close to despair when you think, do people not learn about these important things?
Oh, I mean, we do on the whole better in England than, say, animals, abandoned animals in Greece and things. But as I say, I'm also a patron of Compassion and World Farming, and there's quite a few of the rescues that I really believe in other than my own, and give them as much support as I can. And as I say, on this particular issue, to have gone as far as they have, to have farm animals actually categorised as being sentient beings, i.e. to admit that they have feelings. I mean, you've got a moment, I can tell you a story of my two elderly pigs, age 17. One died, and the other one, it was Acorn and Hazel. Acorn died. Hazel threw herself across his body, sobbed real tears, refused to let us move him, and 5 days later, having not eaten herself, died as well. And you can't tell me these animals don't actually have feelings, because they do.
Natalie, any questions you'd like to put to Alexandra? Because it's interesting, we're talking about the wealth of obviously acting skills you've put together. In fact, I caught up with you in an episode of Randall and Hopkirk Deceased recently, Alexandra.
A while ago.
Natalie, meanwhile, being the next generation, et cetera, I caught up with you in EastEnders and various other bits and pieces. Anyway,
yes,
over to yourself.
I've found out all these wonderful things you've been in, and I'm just... I can't believe you've already, like, you've been a president to your local RSPCA, and, I mean...
I think it's fair to say that the standard you're setting, Alexandra, in terms of a Renaissance woman is just quite phenomenal. That's
well, it's hard work, but I do... What I try and do, really, is, you know, I like the rescues that I'm associated with, certainly, to interact, because we can help each other. I mean, there's one particularly nearby me called Paws, run by a lady called Stacey. And, you know, she's got a particular cat that needs a particular treatment. I'm quite good at sort of, you know, making skin conditions better. On the health front, I've written a couple of health books as well for animals. So we work together, and she will send people to me who are looking for a specific kind of cat that I might have. So we're not sort of isolationist. I work with Cat and Rabbit Rescue in Chichester as well. As I say, there's lots. And the Greyhound Rescue, I mean, Mad About Dogs is a charity that Peter Egan has formed. And that's, you know, lovely actor friend of mine. And I work with him a lot as well. So, but it is hard work keeping going, keeping my own place going. Because, again, as everybody will know, the cost of the feed and the hay and everything has been so exorbitant this year.
Absolutely. In fact, we were talking actually with Lee Langley, who's a screenwriter who adapted the Barbara Taylor Bradford novel, A Woman of Substance, which features, of course, Jenny Seagrove, and another person who's very committed to animal campaigns, etc. On a slightly more trivial note, it has to be said, I was explaining to Zach, obviously as an American, and a young American as well from that point of view, the kind of backstory of the Champions, and I kind of alluded to the fact that you had three agents working for Nemesis, went over to China, came back with the kind of bacteria. Exactly, because obviously the land, the aircraft crashed in the Tibetan areas, and you were rebuilt and sorted through from that point of view. And Zach's response, of course, was...
It was a true story then.
Okay. Evidently. I mean, this is
based on a true story.
Yeah, I wish it were. I mean, have fantastic eyesight and fantastic hearing. And...
The documentary scenario just keeps coming out from that point of view. And again, it's wonderful to see that kind of renaissance coming together. And I've got to ask the question, was the reason for calling the Animal Sanctuary Champions, was it based on the series? Or was that something completely different?
Well, it is based on that. I mean, it's a funny story, but I mean, many years ago when I first started, and it was just the Alexandra Bastido Sanctuary, and that was when I was managing to fund it myself, I had a phone call to say, from the RSPCA, saying, was I the Champions Animal Sanctuary? And I said, no, I wasn't. And they said, well, that's a shame, because there's a large legacy here and we can't find the Champions Animal Sanctuary, so that means we get to keep it.
Yes, you see, it could have been Bob Champion, of course, the jockey, but, you know, working through it. Because I was thinking, if you'd called it the Aphrodite Inheritance Animal Sanctuary, it's not quite the same. Doesn't it flow?
I adored that series, but no, it's not quite the same. Not too many people have seen it.
Yeah, it's just still thinking about it.
But anyway, that's the reason. I'm hoping that lightning will strike twice for these animals here, and that's why it's called the Champions Animal Sanctuary.
It's fantastic. I mean, we're more than happy to promote the thing on a consistent basis. Wendy, any other questions you'd like to put at this stage?
What's your next move, Alexander?
With Peter Egan, I'm actually I've been working on putting on a couple of shows, which are fundraising evenings. We'll be doing one March the 6th at the Mill at Sunning near Reading, and that... We've got quite a lot of... Jenny Seagrove has agreed to do it. We've got Simon Mulligan, the international concert pianist. He's helping us. We've got Jeremy Irons and Sinead Cusack, Penny Wilton, Simon Williams, Lucy Fleming, Peter Egan, Anthony Valentine, myself,
Kate Amara,
it's
a night of stars.
Luke Jameson, and you name it. We've got all of our friends are joining in. And it's the evening is called Love is in the Air.
Oh, sounds wonderful.
And what better way? Possibly with the John Paul Young single of the same name? Maybe
We don't know about that. We'll probably start with Let's Do It, Let's Fall in Love.
Nice choice.
And then there's some wonderful, like the hippopotamus song by Flanders and Swan. I mean, that's the one that goes mud, mud, glorious mud. But it's actually about the hippopotamus falling in love. So, but it should be a fun evening. But anyway, I'm doing that as well as I say, hands on. We've had the vet over today because one of the donkeys has a benign tumour and he's removed that. And we've had a ginger cat come in whose owner has gone into hospital. That came in this morning. So it's just busy, 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 busy all the time.
It is a whole new life story. In fact, in many ways, you are the Joy Adamson of the stockbroker belt.
I think I would be happy doing anything. I mean, I envy those people like Virginia McKenna, who's worked with elephants, and then there's another very good charity called Animals Asia, and she's working to save the brown moon bears and stop people eating dogs. And I mean, that's another, and say, but all these people are doing very worthy work.
I think it's actually high time, Alexandra,
I just do my bit in Sussex.
I think it's high time we invited you up to the University of Lincoln to actually be one of our guest speakers. I mean, after all, Angela Rippon's now one of our visiting professors. We need to develop, we've got John Pilger coming in. I think it's high time you actually shared some of this magic as well. We must look to that in 2011, hopefully. Meanwhile, you got very quiet there. Lincoln, that's a very long way away. That's in the north, for goodness sakes.
I've been to Lincoln a lot, though, with plays. I mean, I love Lincoln, but unfortunately, I mean, the last time I could see that the farming community was suffering, and the time before it had been a much more sort of vibrant town. But it's so beautiful. I mean, Steep Hill and the cathedral, and I mean, I've always enjoyed it enormously, and the surrounding countryside is just brilliant.
And there we are, and this very show.
So, as I say, I do feel I know the place, and yeah. As I say, I have spent time there, and I do care about the place. So that's why, as I say, if I can talk about this farming issue, it's an important one.
I think we'll look towards that. Meanwhile, two final questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today here on Siren 107.3 FM?
No, it's been absolutely awful.
Yeah,
very
question. Well, it may be a silly question, Alexandra, but it's a cliched one. And I like to feel, in these catchphrase-ridden days, we still need to put... It's contractually obligated, that's the key thing. So can we look forward to hopefully connecting with you again in the very near future?
Absolutely, just ask.
Alexandra Bastido, we salute you. A round of applause, please.
Thank you very much.
Always.